This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey guys, and welcome to Paranormal Thoughts Podcast. And as always, thanks for joining me. In this episode, we get to talk to a real-life working exorcist. This is something I've been wanting to do all year. A few months ago, I put up an episode about my thoughts on possession and what I think possession could actually be. The whole idea of, is possession by a demonic entity even relevant in today's terms, or is that definitely an older mindset? So I had someone come forward who is choosing to remain fairly anonymous at the moment for a couple different reasons. But one thing I can tell you is that he goes by the name of the Long Island Exorcist. If you jump on Reddit, he did a Ask Me Anything recently on the paranormal subreddit. That's kind of how I came across him. Then he shot me an email and said, I want to come on and talk to you about being an exorcist. And this is pretty new to the Long Island Exorcist currently. He was a Reiki healer originally, and then now he's fallen into this line of work. So currently, because the Long Island Exorcist is remaining anonymous, the best tip I could give you is to jump on Reddit and potentially find that username and send him a message, or even contact me and I'll get you in contact with him as soon as he's ready to actually come out and start being public. And the way you can do that is bunch of different ways. You could literally just email us at paranormalthoughtspodcast@gmail.com. Jump on our blog, which is paranormalthoughtspodcast.wordpress.com. We are on Facebook. You could jump on the Facebook page, send me a message there. And of course, now we're also on Instagram. And of course, if you like this episode or any of our previous episodes, please feel free to like, subscribe, follow. Depending on the podcast platform you use, we'll give you different options of that. Please, if you want to leave a review, that would help us massively. It really does make a difference. And of course, if you want to hear me talk about any specific topic on the podcast, reach out to me on any of those platforms I just mentioned, and I always want suggestions. I want to give you guys the content that you're after. Thanks again to the Long Island Exorcist for coming on. I'm not going to say any more because I think the chat's really interesting and I think there's some bigger things coming in the future. Hello, Long Island Exorcist. How are you doing?
I'm doing great today. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty well, thanks. Looking forward to getting to ask you a couple questions and sort of understand, you know, your whole ideal and exciting stuff.
I'm really excited. I'm so excited to see that you had done it because I saw you on Reddit looking for exorcists, and I just got on Reddit and it had been a month ago that you posted. And then I saw that you did a thing on exorcists and I'm like, oh, I guess I missed it. But then I listened to it and you didn't actually talk to any exorcists. So I was like, yes. And then I reached out to you and here we are. This is great. So ask me anything, really. Go ahead.
Perfect. All right. Well, is there anything you can kind of tell us to give us a little bit of an idea of who you are, and then we'll get into your whole story, I suppose?
Sure. I was born and raised Roman Catholic. I have to say I never really liked going to church. I never enjoyed it. Maybe when I got my confirmation because I got a new jacket, I thought that was cool. So as soon as I could, when I started going to college, I left the church and I thought, nah, that's it. I'm done. I'm free. But God has his way, or whatever you want to call it, the creator, creation, called me back. And I'll give you an example of that. I remember I was volunteering at a hospice and the chaplain there had said to me, hey, did you ever think about being a chaplain? And I actually laughed at him, saying, no, what are you, crazy? Like me? About 3 years later, I was a hospice chaplain. Sorry, chaplains, true chaplains that could get board certified and stuff get a little testy when I say that. I was a spiritual counselor, but I was a chaplain. I really found myself embracing all religions, all spiritual paths. And as I started to embrace them, everything just started happening for me. It started enriching my life. And I remember one day just kind of saying to the divine, the creator, I said, whatever you want from me, really. And from there, my life's been, I don't want to say easy because there's always challenges, but I've just been led through everything. So, and I have a master's degree in counseling. So hopefully that the chaplaincy, the master's degree in counseling. I'm also a Reiki master for like 15 years. Hope that gives me some legitimacy in the eyes of those who are listening.
Yeah, great. Sounds like really diverse sort of background there. So really interesting. You know, I don't think many people would sort of would assume that potentially when they've, you know, seen the title of the episode. So no, that's really cool.
Thank you.
I suppose the big question is how and why did you become an exorcist?
This is hysterical to me. I say hysterical because if anyone had said anything to me about exorcisms 3 years ago, say, I don't have a good track of time, but approximately. Again, I would have laughed at them, like, yeah, exorcisms, the devil, yeah, whatever, you're crazy, it's all in your head. And I meet in a spiritual group, there was a bunch of us, and we just talk about different things. It's mostly about meditating and what are your challenges in life. You know, there's no really denominational thing to it. It's kind of basic stuff. But we have a psychic in our group, and she says, you know, I'm kind of bummed. I know someone who has something attached to them, and the couple that used to do it out in Oregon, I think it was, they just retired. And in Reiki, we learn, I put that in air quotes, how to do distance work. Well, I learned that, and I could never feel anyone from a distance. Like, so I took the challenge of this woman, like, I'm going to really try with my distance work again. I'm really going to try and connect. And my wife at that time, because it was new, was like, yeah, I'm in too. So we'd sit down at the table together and like get in the mode and like hold our hands up like we'd given Reiki on someone, even though nobody was there. And we pretended we'd given this person who needed the exorcism. And it was only a mild one. It wasn't like a full-blown one. And we can get into that if you want to. And we'd do it and we'd think, I think something happened. We'd go and check back with the psychic. No, not yet. And we'd go back and do it again. It took about three times. And then she confirmed and the people who knew the person confirmed that it had been done. And I'm an obsessive compulsive personality. If I find some kind of magical kind of anything is real, like I'm all in. So I was all in from this point on.
Wow. Yeah, that's really interesting. Like the concept of, I suppose, doing an exorcism over a distance, isn't it?
I think it's awesome because I recently was writing about this online. I think why the... Do you know that the Catholic Church has been like putting out posts, like press releases, like, you know, exorcism's on the rise, priests can't fill the demand, like that kind of thing. They put out like two press releases in the last 3 or 4 years, I'd say. That caught my attention, really. And when I started doing it, I just the other day, I realized why, even if they are doing it, they're not doing it effectively. I mean, think about it. Say, if you believe in this stuff, you're a demon and you're inside somebody's body. Like you can see everything, hear everything, you know, everything that's going on. And the process that the Catholic Church goes through is lengthy. So the demon knows the whole time, oh, look, they're interviewing me now. They're going to see if this person's possessed. Oh, maybe they'll think it's just mental illness and let me go. Oh no, they think it's a possession. Uh-oh. All right, the possession's when? And it's like the demon can take out his iPhone, send the text to all his friends and say, the possession's in 2 weeks, everyone. They can call in like all the reinforcements they want. And then the poor priest is walking in thinking, oh, this is just a case of mild to moderate possession. And look out, you know? So it's really unfair. So now I'm coming from a spiritual realm, and I can explain that more too if you want. The demons don't know I'm coming. I'm sorry. That's a misspeak. I don't do anything. I connect with the divine and the divine team. They don't know where I'm coming. To them, it's like we're coming out of the fourth dimension and they don't know what hit them. And then it's just like flicking ants. It's really like nothing. And that's why I can do it. I got to get used to that. We can do it in minutes. Where a priest, what is it? I hear sometimes it takes weeks. or at least hours. I think their methods, I'm just going to say it, and I mean this out of an educational point of view, their methods are outdated and they got to get updated for the times. Just calling it as it is, factually speaking.
Yeah, the way you sort of explained it then sounds like you have a really interesting new method. And as you're just saying there, yeah, the older priest type method does seem quite outdated if it's a lot simpler the way you're going about it.
It's actually child's play. I don't mean that in a egotistical way at all. I just mean it like, think about like a dark room, like pitch black. You can't see a thing. You flick a switch and turn on a light, all the darkness is gone. How hard was that? You know? So it's like all like exorcisms and the devil. And really, I'm going to turn on this light switch. See you later, buddy. Like fucking ants. Like nothing. Really. That, and if people can understand that and be like, hey, this guy makes a lot of sense. That's right. I'm not going to fear anything anymore. That, like, owning that and, like, watching, like, superhero movies and, like, feeling empowered in that way. Like, yeah, I feel like Superman on the inside sometimes. There wouldn't be a need for exorcisms at all if people were fearless. But, you know who's pumping the fear out there, right? I mean, I imagine we know who's pumping the fear. I'll just say it, the news. What is the news doing to us? Are they helping us? I don't feel like they're helping me. One of the biggest changes I ever made in my life, I turned off the news. Instant happiness for the rest of my life from that.
Definitely. Makes a huge difference, doesn't it?
Yeah. If everyone turned off the news, I think there'd be less of a need for exorcisms. I'll even go out there and say that.
So can you explain to us what exactly a demon is to you? Because I'm sure a lot of people have different ideas about what a demon physically is.
Oh, these are all great questions. Sure. All right. I know you had some people on, like, you know, talking about ghosts and things, and people have seen ghosts and taken pictures of ghosts. Mm-hmm. So it seems like people can kind of wrap their brain around, all right, there's spirits, you know, there's something going on there. I can at least kind of half believe that, if not full believe that. I'm not going to totally write that one off. So I think that one's more acceptable. So you can understand the idea of a spirit, right? So what I think what's going on is these individuals, spirits are either kind of lost or misguided, or someone else is putting them up to no good, you know? Or in some cases, you like moved into their house and that was their house. And you didn't even say hi to them or acknowledge them. And you're acting like you own their place. Well, screw you, man. If you said hi to me, I would have been cool. But now you're walking in my place like you own it. I'm going to start throwing stuff off the counters and stuff. Like, get the hell out of my house. You know, so I think sometimes it's a misunderstanding. That's kind of, I think, how it goes. It's just misguided spirits for the most part. I mean, because if you think about humanity, if you liken stuff to kind of the world, it's easy to see it. So if you look at humanity, you can say, yeah, most people are really kind of kind and good. Yeah, we got our flaws, but we're a good lot overall. And then you could say, well, some people are more misguided. And then there's only like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of us that are like truly evil. And I think it's the same way over there, except the evil dudes are really powerful and they're misguiding everyone because of fear. Take out fear, there is no need for anything. We can just live happily ever after.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, so you're saying it's more so spirits of people who have been misguided, and that's what you're more so dealing with.
Yeah, I think when it comes to the heavy stuff, like the movies and the puking and all that stuff and the levitating, I think there, and you just will have to take a leap of, I guess, faith or belief on this one. I think you're dealing with fallen angels, you know, and fallen whatever your belief is. I'm talking online with someone who's a pagan. I know a lot about a lot of religions or spiritual paths, I should say, more appropriately. But, you know, so what is it to them? What is it to these other people? Like, I would like to, like, know the language for everyone so I can speak to everyone in their language.
I think it's always interesting when someone approaches you and wants to talk about, you know, their experience in their life, and you never quite know where they're coming from. But I think, yeah, your outlook is really interesting and it's got me wanting just to really know more and more about it. So it's safe to say you would be like the modern day type exorcist, you know. I think that's really refreshing and I'm glad that we're having this talk compared to maybe someone who was in that older mindset of, as you're kind of saying, throwing up into a bucket and levitating, that sort of you know.
It just seems crazy. I mean, I heard you on your show, you were talking about that poor, you had a clip from that poor girl. Like, that's a nightmare that even exists in the world, that she had to be tortured her whole life. And, oh, she has, something else that's kind of psychological, medical. Did the parents and those people apologize to her profusely? I hope so.
So can you explain to us a little bit more of the exorcism process? Like, as you were saying, you kind of connect to, what was the word you used?
Spirit. But let me explain to it scientifically, because people are going to get lost if I keep saying spirit and fallen angels and everything. So sure. Let's just break it down real simple. All right. If exorcisms were physical, like, you know, if you went to see your buddy one day and he had something hanging on his back, you'd like rip it off him. You know, that's night and day. Okay. Now, from Reiki, we learn that we have electrical impulses running through our body. And from these electrical impulses, a magnetic field is emitted. You know, the magnetic field is interactive with the electrical impulse. So a Reiki practitioner takes their magnetic field, so to speak. And this is science. Like, if you look up electric currents, electric fields, they will talk about the magnetic field that comes off the electric field that goes into infinity and crisscrosses with all the magnetic fields. So one step off the physical level, one step off the electricity level, we have this field that connects us all. So that's not a hard one. You know, now let's just say there's bad vibes, bad juju, like these spirits, like say they existed on this realm. Who would even know it now? Unless you go get Reiki all the time and you're really in tune with energy, you could have something attached to you. I'll even say like this first layer, and there's a lot of layers. You have someone at this first layer and they don't even know it. They just write it off. I don't know. I'm just depressed all the time. I don't know what's going on. Like, you know, for a Reiki person, if possessions happened at this level, any Reiki person in the world could, you know, say, oh, whoa, you got something attached to you there, buddy. And then the balancing of the energy, which is the calming, the soothing, and the releasing of fear ultimately is what would get rid of it. Is that a pretty good explanation, I hope?
Yeah, definitely. I think putting it into the concept of Reiki, which I'm sure a lot of people listening to this have got a pretty good understanding of, is a good way for us to understand exactly what goes on. You've sort of, I guess, answered my question in a sense, because a big argument is, how can people be possessed if they don't believe in any type of higher being or any type of negative entity? And you've sort of answered it there, because it's more energy-based and sort of spiritual-based, but could it ever sort of be related to religion, or is it just purely energy-based?
That's a tough one, because this makes me cringe to say. Religion is man-made. It doesn't exist on its own. Like, the universe exists on its own. Like, the things that connect us all exist on our own. Religion, like, takes that and really puts it into a very small container. And then people like to hold their containers and say, I have the best container. Your container's not good. Like, it's to me, it's insanity. Like, really? Like, embrace your beliefs, but open your eyes and see that there's, you know, you may be living in this tiny box. So I think religion adds to the rise in exorcisms only in the fact that it closes people's minds, to the degree that it closes people's minds. Because some people are religious, and it's just like anything. Take a group of people, not even say religious, take any group of people, you're going to have like most wonderful people, some neutral people, and some people who rub you the wrong way, you know? So religion's kind of the same thing. You got the fanatics, like, go away. And then you got the, you know, the people who are like, the religion just helps to focus and ground them and balance them. And they see the bigger picture, you know? And those, I wish we had more of those religious people, you know, and less of the closed-minded, I'm right, you're wrong, you got to follow my way, you're going to hell kind of people. Because that spreads fear, and fear is the problem. And you could even say that fear is the possession. We don't even have to believe it. Well, you don't have to believe in the other stuff. Just get rid of your fear and it takes care of the problem. And the beauty of it is if you are raised religious and not closed-minded, when you got to kind of walk away from it, so to speak, to own who you are, question everything you've been taught, and own it for yourself. And then if you take that and you come back to your religion, you can embrace it in the proper way. And all those saints and archangels and angels, you know, they've been in part of your life your whole life, and you can embrace them, I'm going to say, the correct way, not the closed-minded way.
I actually wrote down a question here, which I think is kind of funny now.
Good. I like humor. I love humor.
because I think you've definitely answered this, but last night when I was prepping, I wrote, is an average person's definition of an exorcist what you are? And I can definitely say that no, that's not the case.
No,
whatsoever.
Not at all.
Which is interesting, and that's just kind of my background and coming into this going, who exactly will I be talking to? Will it be someone such as yourself or someone who's very close-minded and very,
God forbid.
I know, very hung up in their sort of way, but I think it's so interesting that, I don't know, because I think majority of people would have never have thought of exorcism in the sense of how you're doing it.
That's why I think we're here today, Dylan. I think really that's why we're here. We're here to educate people. And I want to say it's no mistake, you're in Australia and I'm in the US. Because if you can find some like legit or what, you know, rational people would call legit possessed people, and I can do something from here, people's minds are going to explode open. Like, what? You know? So I think there's a purposeful intent that we found each other and you're on the other side of the world, like literally.
There's definitely more to be had. And the fact that you can do exorcisms remotely, like I think that's definitely worth doing something more in the future, I think, for the podcast.
Yeah, it's all up to you. I'm, you know what? Anytime you want me to say anything about anything, I'm writing a lot of stuff on Reddit these days that people are going to raise people's eyebrows. But I do what I've always followed my heart. I'm doing what's moved me from in my heart, which to me, if you move your mind out of the way, that's the creator creation speaking through you. And he has me writing some crazy stuff that even, and I say crazy in that, like, well, I'll let you read for yourself. You know, exorcisms and possessions might be a step for people. So I don't want to blow people's minds. So, but you can read for yourself. And if you want to question me about anything I've written, I'd be 100% happy to come on your show anytime and explain it rationally, I hope.
I'm sure some people would be dying to know some of your case files. Is there any you can speak about?
Yeah, I want to say this latest one because it's just divine, really, like literally divine.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
So I've obviously put myself out to the world, which, you know, I just want to be clear, like I'm comfortable coming out on this, but my wife, she was with me on the beginning and she's a little shaken up now because it's just, it's getting a little, I'll even say, crazy. I can see through other people's eyes. I can see it. And so I'm respecting her in that. So since I've come out, you know, I've actually put out a challenge, like, don't believe anything I say. Test me. Like, put exorcisms, possessions in front of me. And look out for the mild ones, because those are the ones that fly under the radar. Like, you have a friend who you think isn't himself, and he's always saying he's not like himself. Like, maybe, why not? It doesn't hurt. Like, I don't even have to see him. He's not going to receive any drugs. I'm not going to pray over him. Like, all you have to do is say, yeah, can you please check my friend? And I will check them, you know, and it's as simple as that. So I put out a challenge to the world, like, all right, let's go, people. And I'm not getting a lot of responses. I'm surprised, really, is that people aren't feeling a little off and curious, maybe they have something attached to them. But anyway, I had another legit exorcist who's really a holy man in Jewish faith. He came out warning me, like, buddy, I don't know. I don't know if you know what you're doing. You're gonna get yourself killed, and you know. And then we now quickly became friends because we both have very strong personalities, and we're both exorcists. And so he threw down a challenge for me because he wanted to know, like, are you crazy or are you legit? So he gave me my first, and again, this is gonna be a stretch for people. Most of the ones I've done are mild, light. They're misguided souls attached to people. You're in their house or something, and they're upset about it, things like that. This guy gave me, like, all right, I got one for you. It's a fallen angel and two other, he knows everything, and two other whatevers, but the fallen angel is the big gun. And I'm like, good, my first big boss, you know? So I was all excited. And so we were chatting. I'm like, all right, I'm going in, you know? So I call in, like, my divine army, really. It's just, they're glorious. And I'm just more of the reporter. I'm like meditating. I'm usually sitting very comfortably somewhere, almost asleep. Like, I connect with my divine team. And then I just think of whoever it is, you know, and someone can be anonymous and give me the letter of their name. The creator knows who you are. Like, I don't have to know who you are. And I think of the person, and all of a sudden, literally like magic, I can feel their energy field. I feel like I'm them. And again, I'm just seeing it. And so in this instance, it's just so far-fetched. I don't know if telling the story is going to help people or not, but I'll just tell it. It's like the divine army comes in and they just dismantle everything quickly. And I do get not visuals, but sensations. Like this one fallen demon, supposedly, who he wasn't able to get off the person, and he's an exorcist. 2 minutes. We came in, we assessed the situation. We came out of the sky like lightning. The demon didn't know what hit him, and he was like obliterated in 2 minutes. And the funny thing is, though, the one that didn't get obliterated right away was the most minuscule of them all. And he's like, yeah, I'm still here. I'll fight you. And we're just like all laughing. I'm like, this is ridiculous. And I'm like, the world's got to know about this. This process is so easy because it's really love and light against fear and darkness. And the light's going to kick ass on the darkness every single time. No, even like close ties or matches. That was my first test, so I thought I'd share it. I'm on my second one now, but I think it's a lot for people. I feel like the world's in need of a big change, and I think the time for like kind of pussyfooting around things, taking the slow route is over. I think it's got to come in a little hard, and I think that's why I'm coming forth maybe a little like, you know, direct. And so it can be overwhelming for people. So I read of a girl online. I don't want to say any more because I don't want to give anything away around and you know, her identity or anything like that. But you know, she has multiple demons attached to her, and we eradicated them in the flick of a light switch. And I'm dying for her to write me back and tell me she feels better. And you know, and I know she's probably overwhelmed and she doesn't understand, but I just want her to sit and be calm and peaceful and feel like in her heart, am I free or am I not free? That's all I want. And then, of course, I wanted to let me tell the whole story of how that all went down, because stuff's it's really exciting.
One question I just thought of was, when you go into this process and you fight the negative entities, what then happens? What happens to them? So do they cease to exist?
I'm glad you asked that. I think we're at a period in time like, no, we all obviously have our free wills. We can deny everything and we still get to live and have our free wills. Like, you can be and do anything you want. And I think that's true of any living being, spirit, whatever. So they don't get like eradicated. And I'm going to say yet, ? Because I can't say what happens. I know the case I gave as an example is my first one, was the first time they were eradicated without first being given mercy. And I think it was to prove a point to the person who was testing me and everybody. You know, every other exorcism I've done to date, they were given kindness and mercy and all left voluntarily on their own, apologetically. Where they go, I don't know. Wherever they're taken to be rehabilitated, I guess, you know? But all leave voluntarily once they're shown the light. And maybe this fallen angel, because it was a fallen angel, was given no mercy and just eradicated. I think eradicated, I said, from this realm, you know? I don't know where he goes. I don't want to know where he goes. I don't think eradication would be mercy. Nah, I think he's going to be suffering a little because he knew what he was doing was wrong, and he did it anyway. Everyone should get a little slap on the wrist for that.
Yeah, fair enough. I think, as you said, that it ceases to exist in this realm makes a lot of sense, but who are we to say that they don't move on to somewhere else? Because that seems to be a likely option, I think.
Yeah, and I can't say. I wish I could say. I think they gave me a very specific task and purpose because they know I'm like hyper excited about stuff, and they're like, we got to give this guy just one thing only, and keep him focused or he's going to go crazy. So I think they kind of really, they knew me. They gave me this one gift and they're like, just focus on this, buddy.
For sure.
Keep yourself grounded and focused and you'll be okay. Trust us.
So I want to know more about this divine army and what the Creator is to you. Can you go into a little bit more depth about that?
Yeah. I mean, you've heard of the quantum field.
Yeah.
That's the Creator. That's it. It's not more any simpler complex than that. I got in trouble online for bashing science a little, so I'll be meeker and back off. Like, I don't understand why. I think Deepak Chopra, I think he does it. He takes science and spirituality and marries them together. The quantum field is intelligence is God. It's, you know, creation. For anyone who's creative out there, it's this simple. And I don't know if you're creative, Dylan, or not, if, you know, drawing or painting or anything like that. When you are a true creative, you know that your best work comes through you when you're not thinking about it. It's just coming through you.
Mm.
From where? From where does healing come? From where does our life come? To me, that is God, or whatever you want to call it. He doesn't care what you call him, she, it, the, like, it doesn't matter. It just is, and it is, in my experience, peace and love and joy and harmony and all that. Good stuff.
Yeah, great. I think that's a perfect way to sort of summarize, I think, a creator. That's what I think it means to me as well. I think it's as simple in a sense of how you just put it, but it's not as maybe simple as other people see it as. So that's the Creator. So what about the divine army? Is that any different?
Well, yeah, it's very different. Well, different and the same. Let me say what I mean by that. So if we're all part of creation, like, we all are in the same field, so we are all one, so to speak, in that respect, and that we're in the field. But you are you, I am me, people are people, they do what they want, we're all different that way. So in the same respect, and there's different levels, there's hell, you know, there's earth, there's heaven, there's, you know, the Creator. So if the earth, between earth and the Creator, everything in between there, the divine army, they're all above us, they're all good, and so they went up, so to speak. And if you go, if you're a good person, who doesn't want to help someone who's hurting if you can? And to them, it's child's play. It's so easy. They're like screaming and imploring, like, call to us, you know, any way you look at us. You're pagan, you're Christian, you're Muslim, anything, like, call to us. We want to help you. And all you have to do is get your mind out of the way and release your fear, and we'll take care of the rest for you. So that's who the divine army is.
I think you might have even answered this already, but how do you feel about people who don't believe?
I feel bad because, like, you know, if not believing truly makes you happy, then don't believe. Like, you know, maybe you didn't have a lot of support or something growing up, and not believing gives you a sense of control of your life or something. And, you know, and so not believing does something for you. So not believing could really be a wonderful thing. But when and if you have a way to manage your life, and you know, maybe you don't believe, but you know, take walks in nature and that relaxes you. Like, does it really matter? Does our creator really care if you believe in him, if you're walking around loving and spreading goodness to everyone? So it doesn't matter in that case. Where it really, truly breaks my heart, and I can even cry over this, is when people need help and they don't believe. That crushes me, because I'm like, can you open just really just a hair? We will take care of the rest. Like, just open yourself a hair. That's what crushes me, when people really have their like belief at to the point of disbelief, and it's clamped down where they won't even open it. Because we're given our free will, and it's not going to be taken away from us. So if you want to clamp down and suffer and not receive help, well, that's your free will. I will feel bad for you. I might even cry for you, but I can't help you because you won't let me help you.
Yeah. I'm just curious, what's your view on an afterlife?
Oh, my God. Before, you know, probably through my 20s, everything spiritual, anything. So near-death experiences, past life regressions, and you read enough of those. Yeah, if you don't want to believe anything, if you're clamped down, you can read it all and go, damn, what a bunch of crap. But if you have your eyes even a sliver open, you're like, wait, there's thousands of these stories and they all have these parallel things in them. Like, huh, maybe there is something else, you know? And it's the reincarnation. I remember when I was seeking that, like, is reincarnation real? Is it not real? Let me go to workshops. Let me get hypnotized. And nothing ever happened to me. And then one day I'm just like going to take the trash out. And all of a sudden, and you know the difference between a dream and like, you know, a wish and a memory. Like, you know, no one's going to come to you at your age now in your health and try and convince you that one of your memories is wrong. You'd be like, screw you. What are you getting at? That's my memory. That was my life. I don't know what you're talking about. I had that kind of experience, that kind of memory, that I was like a monk in a past life, and I just walked the earth, me and the creator. That was my whole life. And no one could tell me I didn't have that life. So not only do I believe in life after here because of all the near-death experiences, and I was a chaplain, and people are telling me about angels, and they're about to die, and they're telling me how their loved ones, they're seeing them before they die. Like, why these people, you think on the deathbed, people are lying about what they're experiencing? Like, they're about to go into what's next, and they're seeing what's next, and they're reporting on what's next, you know? I had one woman who wasn't her time, but they messed up her meds a little. I hate that this is true. And she almost died. And she said, the way she tells the story, you know, when someone tells a story with a certain amount of passion, you're like, I think your BS meter can maybe lower a little for a moment. And the woman was telling, she was like, I came to this fence and I looked over and it was the greenest grass I ever saw in my life. I can't even describe how beautiful it was. And I really wanted to go over, but they told me it wasn't my time and they told me to come back. Like, this is a woman I was visiting for like a year maybe at that point, knew very well and was very rational, reasonable and otherwise. And she's telling me this beautiful story. Like, how could I not believe in everything at this point or anything? Yeah.
Question just for me, really, more than anyone else.
Go ahead.
And I'm sure you might have seen on the podcast, I do a segment where I talk to people who believe to have had alien abduction experiences.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So I'm just curious, do you have any thoughts, any interest on that kind of topic?
Oh, dear. It's just all, you know what? The world wants to change and whatever we're doing is not working. So it's time to jar everyone a little bit, I guess, is what the creation and creator is doing. It's saying, I try to do it the easy way. Now I'm going to shake you up a little, you know, mess you up in the loving hope that you do like change your beliefs. That being said, my good friend, psychic, spiritual mentor to a certain degree, helped guide me in a lot of what I'm doing now. I don't want to say this because I'm not ready to put it out there yet. Let's just say I interviewed her per se.
Okay.
And we were talking about past life regressions. And I talked about mine with being a monk. And she talked about hers. And now I know her to be very rational and reasonable. I know she's a psychic. So I know she knows even more than most people. And she talked about her past life on another planet. And the thing that's great is it wasn't all about like the fact that there were the other things. It was more a fact that it's all on any alien planet here, anything. It's all about the same exact thing. It's about love and what lessons are you needing to learn. So that's, she's talking about aliens. And I'll even take a step back and say to people, if it's all imagined, but you can pull a lesson out of it, then isn't that everything? And since then, she's, because I can feel the divine. I can feel the divine representatives, the Holy Spirits. I can feel them. And I can feel them individually, not just like, I think I'm feeling something. Like an example, like an Archangel Raphael, I believe he's known as like the divine surgeon. When I call on him, I feel my hands just start like pulsating and all this energy going through my hands. So they come to me in different places. So then when I'm working with someone and I feel the energy, then I know who's helping me for that person. And so with that, getting back to the point in your question, she's introduced me to like the Palladians. I'm feeling the Palladians around you. They're asking me them to check you out. Star from another planet wants to help you in your healing mission. Open yourself up to him. And as long as I say to myself, like, you know, I'm fearless, I will open myself up to anything, because if it isn't also fearless, it's not going to get in. You know, it has to be fearless too, or it's not going to get through the gate. And I open myself up to Star from another planet, and he's been instrumental in helping me. It sounds crazy, but so yes, again, 1 year ago, no, I don't believe in aliens or anything like that. Today, yeah, absolutely. Sorry, the creation's way too infinite that we're the only thing.
Yeah.
Like, really? That's talk about egocentric.
I've heard of someone in a similar situation, as you just kind of mentioned, who in a past life believes that they were from somewhere else and that they still have contact with that life, I suppose you could say.
Would make sense. Would make sense.
And
visiting, going back to visit your hometown, even though you moved away.
Exactly. That whole sort of idea. So that's definitely not new to me. Because I think
Me too.
Because I definitely think reincarnation is a big possibility, because even I think it's interesting when you hear cases of kids talking about, I don't know, their past
lives.
They're
the best.
Yeah. You know.
They're the best.
And there's definitely something about a child's mind, which is really fascinating. But then, you know, even as you said, you still have that memory of being a monk. So I definitely think, yeah, it'd almost be a waste, wouldn't it, to only live once?
It'd be a total waste. But that was the point then. Yeah. If you can't, like Pete, this is a perfect example. How can anyone explain, like, some five-year-old kid, like, playing the piano like a maestro, like a prodigy? Like, I have zero doubt that kid probably in many lifetimes just loved the piano. All he wanted to do was play the piano. And so he honed his skills over many lifetimes. And yeah, to us, he's like a five-year-old child. But to someone else who can see, he's like a 2,000-year-old soul who's been playing the piano for 2,000 years. So to them, they're like, I'm not surprised. He was this, and this person in their past life. Why are you so surprised? Because he's five. Open your mind.
So my final question is, where are you going to go from here? What's your plan? What's the future look like for you?
Dylan, that's a more loaded question than you know, because it's not for 15, 16, 17 years, it has not been my will. I know when creation is flowing through me and I release myself to that. That's what I follow, my heart, the creation that's flowing through me. For the sake of not making people's heads explode, I don't want to go there. Let's just say I'll be doing a lot of exorcisms. Let's just put it that way. You're going to see what's going to happen, and it's going to happen. I don't want to give it away because you know what? I can't give it away either. It's honestly comes down to everyone, the human race. Are you ready to let your fear go and open yourself up to something great? I mean, you are, or aren't you? If you aren't, I, the divine team, the creator himself, we can't help you. But if you are ready to open yourself and you're sick of the world the way it is, change is on the way, is all I'll say. In a loving, peaceful, merciful, kind way, with everyone having their choice. Do you want to pick the side of love and goodness and kindness? Because that's what the world wants. That's what most of it wants. So you want to be a dick and a douchebag and be corrupt and greedy. Go over there then, wherever there is. We're gonna take our world back. Go fuck off.
More to come then, by the sounds of that.
Yeah, that's more to come. That's I don't want to make people's heads explode.
For sure. Thank you so much for coming on and just explaining your whole, I don't even know how to even put it, like your whole, it's like a new,
everything.
Yeah, it's like a new, like, I don't want to say like new age type exorcism, but that's almost what it is, isn't it?
It really is. Exorcism 2.0. Like,
yeah, like the 2018 version of.
Yeah, edition. Yeah. Version. Dylan, it was really the pleasure was all here. I really enjoyed talking to you. And I really appreciate it. I think you're doing the creator's work. Yeah. So blessings. Blessings to you always.
Thank you. And we'll definitely keep in touch because as you have kind of been saying, I think there's more to come and I think we're all very excited and we'll definitely, when it's time for that, we'll dive back in and ride the wave, I think.
Yeah. And I guess I'd like to, if I can say it, like calling all possessed people come to me. I will check you out. If you're possessed, I'll take care of you gladly, lovingly, without fear or trying to push any kind of religious beliefs on you. Believe what you want, but just open yourself up, let your fear go, and let us all help you.
Hey guys, if you made it this far, really appreciate you listening to the episode. I hope you enjoyed it. As I said earlier on, if you want to get in contact with the Long Island Exorcist, get in contact with me through email, WordPress, Instagram, Facebook. I'll be able to pass on his details as soon as he's ready to come forward. Thanks again, guys. I'll catch you in another podcast episode soon. Bye.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.